Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this week's episode of Game Cabinet. This week I have the lovely George, as usual.
Hello there.
I have on my beep boops, the Hannah.
Doing the beeps and the boops.
And unfortunately, our newest co-host, Chrissy, is gone. You know, family vacations, things like that.
Whatever. Like a boat on a stagnant sea, we are adrift.
Look at Chrissy. 2 episodes in and she's already taken vacation time.
Already abandoning ship. Has already downed the dinghy and is leaving.
See you later, losers.
No, hopefully we should have Chrissy back by
we love
our
you, Chrissy.
Next episode.
Yeah, she should be back.
She'll be back by our next episode. And then I, as usual, I'm your host with the least, Drew. Today we're talking new releases and RPGs, because primarily a lot of RPGs have come out over the last, 2 weeks? We've seen at least a dozen or so books get released.
You know, I feel like just with the popularity of 5th edition dovetailing out into so many other new things, I don't think we've ever seen more new RPGs coming out than we have been recently.
Yeah. Our new release shelf has been primarily books for, a month.
Right.
Because just everybody and their pet duck is now making RPGs, and if they're not making their own system in RPG, they're hopping on the 5e wagon, because apparently 5e is being real nice about being yeah, you want to make stuff? We own it, but yeah, sure. Here, go ahead.
I mean, Wizards isn't dumb.
Yeah, they're just letting all kinds of supplements. I just saw, I'm pretty sure it's Cobalt Press, because they use that specific iconography for it.
Yeah.
But they just did the Tome of Heroes.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
That was cool to see. I was like, oh, less Tome of Beasts, more Tome of Heroes, please. I
saw,
options.
It's 70 subclass options for 5th edition. Yeah. Oh.
Ridiculous.
Actually adding some robustness
to
it.
I need to grab that so bad.
They know what they're doing. They listed one of them on the back. I believe it was a druid one from the Circle of Bees. Druid.
Yes.
Druid.
Right.
You know, my favorite, it's not from any actual source book. It's one of those D&D wiki homebrew things. Mm. But it's a sentient suit of armor, except it's just piloted by a swarm of bees.
Oh my god.
So it's actually a sentient swarm of bees in a suit of armor.
Oh my god.
And I want to play that. So they had the whole stat block for it. And I was
play
like
a bee druid on top.
And
of
I was like, I want to play a sentient swarm of bees.
There's a character in Rick and Morty that is just a million ants, but I like bees in a suit of armor much better.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's much better.
That's so wonderful. I want to play a bee druid. Tell me it gives me 150 feats too.
You're going to have to just check it out to find it. I don't know. They listed on the back a bunch of the stuff that was in it, but I was working, so I didn't have a whole lot of time to stop what I was doing.
I want to play a beast druid. I would play a druid if I could play that druid. I haven't ever played a druid because the spell lists of druid is almost as absolutely overwhelming as wizard to me. So I've always been nah, I don't want to play a druid. I'll be a fighter again. That's fine.
Just go circle of what? Circle of the moon? Is that the one that or circle
you just
of the
use moonbeam all the time?
Moonbeam or whatever the other one that lets you transform is. You
just, oh yeah, wild shape.
Just stay constantly in wild shape.
That's Leah plays in my Icewind Dale game, and she's always wild shaped into a wolf, almost 100% of the time.
You don't have to worry about the spells and crap if you're just a wolf all the
time. She's I just want to wild shape into as a wolf. I'm like, that's fine. You can do that. I don't care. It's your wild shape.
Yeah.
I realized in that moment I played myself, because if I had taken just a minute to read and look at a couple more of those things, I would have had more to talk about in this moment now.
I mean,
and that would have been work.
I feel like that's fine.
See?
Oh, well. All right. Can't change.
Man,
can't
George,
change the past.
Do research for the podcast.
But
I say as none of us do research.
None of
the
us
podcast.
Did research this week. We're all the worst this week.
We had
fault.
A game we were actually going to talk about, but none of us actually got to play it in the last 2 weeks. So we just decided not
we're
to talk about
RPGs
it.
We're talking RPGs instead, because you know what? Sad. We're probably going to have more fun talking about RPGs. I like that game, and it's going to be a fun game, but I have a feeling it's going to be one of those very short episodes for everybody.
Yeah.
It's honestly one that looks interesting. The scratching of the surface that I did, it'll be a fun episode. I'm sure we'll have fun.
I'm excited. I've got one of the starter sets, and I think I might try, if we have the time to pick up, I might try to special order the Dead Cells.
We should like we should all hang out and like try to play it.
Yeah.
We can do that when I come back.
Okay. Perfect. Oh no, that gives us time to do it.
There you go.
Ah.
Yeah. I mean, you guys can get together and play a couple games, and then when Chrissy and I are back from our trips, then we can all get together.
It is a two player game, so yeah, perfect. We can just get everybody all paired up.
There we go.
Other wonderful hobby or wonderful RPG news is it'll be too late by the time you guys hear this, but for my friends here, I think Humble Bundle has like for another week or so all of your one Pathfinder for $25.
Oh no!
You don't have to buy it.
Oh no! All of it?
Like Adventure Path, the Lost Omens, the core rulebook, the Bestiary, map packs for everything.
Like Pathfinder.
Second edition.
Oh, second. Okay.
Sorry.
Okay. I was like, what?
No, Pathfinder second edition released all of their year one.
Oh, man. I'm going to have to go buy that.
That's wild. Like, everything they put out in the first year, the two was holy crap.
Let's see.
That's a lot.
If you want to bring us up another RPG news, I will get a list
of. Well, we just had the reintroduction in fifth edition of Spelljammer.
Ooh, yeah!
Which was originally in Advanced Dungeons & Dragons, AD&D,
I think so, yeah.
Was Spelljammer. Mm-hmm. So it's been years since we've had any Spelljammer content come out. And I mean, they've been hinting at it with like the introduction of the GIF and like all of that kind of stuff. But I am so excited for Spelljammer.
I loved that they had little like actual like, well, I don't know, not literal Easter eggs, but they had Easter eggs in a couple of like moments in some of their stories. Like in Tomb of Annihilation, there was a Spelljammer ship, in the forest that had crash landed.
Yeah, there's one in Icewind Dale as well.
Nice.
There's,
oh my god.
There is a little crashed spaceship, and it has the spaceship is the one that has the gnome Ilfids.
Oh, okay, nice.
The little gnome mind flayers that are just the stupidest looking things ever, but I love them.
Sounds adorable.
I took that out of my Icewind Dale campaign though, because that would derail us so fast, and I can't let my group have chibi mind flayers in their campaign.
Yeah. they would just lose their crap.
Chibi mind flayers. We would
not get anything else done. They would just stay there for like I'd be like, okay, and the campaign's over. That was what we were trying to do.
Yeah. Good job, guys.
Good job, guys.
You did it.
You did it. We did it, Reddit. But if you don't know Spelljammer, it's
D&D in space.
More or less.
I mean, yeah.
It's like, it's the perfect combination of magic and technology.
Yeah.
Because there's still magic, and they use the magic to power the ships, but they're also spaceships.
They're dope spaceships.
Yeah.
I think how Paizo, the people who make Pathfinder, were describing Starfinder right out the gate is pretty similar to what this is.
No.
It's science fantasy is how they described it.
I think Starfinder was Paizo's Spelljammer. It absolutely was.
Absolutely, you are totally right.
And they did such a good job. I didn't get to do a full campaign, but I got to play a couple like sessions of Starfinder, and I loved it. It was so much fun.
Was it the one that I did too? I played in like three or four sessions of something, but it might have been outside. That was at a home game.
No, this one was. It was one that I think Doug was running.
Oh, that's cool.
But it kind of fell apart.
Yeah.
It was like everybody's, you know, schedules and everything.
The usual killer of a campaign.
The classic fizzle.
The classic fizzle. But it was really fun, and schedule. I liked the whole you got to have with, like, there's different settings within the ship versus actual, like, role play. Mm-hmm. So when you're in space, you're actually playing the ship and all of that kind of stuff.
Yep.
It was really interesting. I liked it.
Go ahead, sorry.
No, you're good. I was going to say, we got to do a couple, like, space battles and things like that. And it's really fun being like, oh, I'm going to be, like, the tech analysis guy. And so then you have to do your thing while you're doing space fights and
mm-hmm. Well, yeah. that was what I was going to say is like I like it. There's like I've heard of a problem in a different game, Shadowrunner, where when you get into a specific situation, there are the runners and they just are the only ones doing anything.
Yes,
yeah.
But they avoided that with Starfinder perfectly by giving everybody in the ship, not just like the gunner or the pilot, something to do to like help like with the combat and give boons to certain other things that are happening, and it's super fun.
Absolutely.
So I'm really looking forward to seeing how Spelljammer works.
Me too.
I didn't get to spend much time in Starfinders and playing Starfinder either, but I completely avoided all spaceship responsibilities by just going outside. Every time we got into a battle, I was like, I tether up, and I can spend an hour outside. I'm going to go outside and shoot giant bullets at it.
Nice.
Eventually, it's going to go down between you guys shooting a bunch of bullets and me shooting a bunch of big bullets. We should kill this thing really fast.
I feel like that's appropriate.
I was playing a, like, 9-foot-tall space pixie. It was great. I loved that character so much.
I don't even remember what character I played, because I grabbed a pre-gen character so that I didn't have to, like...
Worry too much,
because it was even before our Pathfinder game. So besides that one 20-level Pathfinder one-shot that we had done...
Oh, yeah!
I'd never played Pathfinder before, and, like, the concept of creating a character was so overwhelming for me, and they were like, here, just have this pre-generated character, and I was like, great, I love this.
You're like, this sounds wonderful.
This sounds great, because my only other Pathfinder experience at that point had been trying to create a level 20 alchemist, which was the worst option.
Worst choice. I love alchemists, though.
Just the worst thing I could have done.
First time, playing with the Pathfinder thing, at all.
Ever, God, ever. That's first, so daunting. First time Pathfinder.
So daunting.
Drew's like, we're going to make a level 20 campaign. And I was like, ooh, an alchemist sounds really fun. And he's like, yeah, they are super fun. And then I had to build
a character. They're my favorite.
And I was like, wow, this is terrible. It was fun, though. We killed the Jabberwocky.
You know what the whole reason I'm a big fan of Alchemist is because they, like, wizards can learn new spells. So it's really nice, so you can really up your repertoire. At the beginning of each day, you choose what extracts you're going to make. It takes you 60 seconds to refill any extract. It takes me, essentially, less than most short rests to sit and refill all my spells and go, cool, I'm ready to go for the next combat.
Nice.
Oh, you guys want to stop for 5 minutes and have a conversation? Cool. That's 5 extracts I just reproduced in my bag.
Nice.
Oh,
that's awesome.
Nice.
Yeah, I always have magic missile. Never run out.
I like it. It was super fun. Just overwhelming.
Yeah. So back to our Pathfinder, just because I finally got back to the bundle, I was trying to be dumb and go through my email and should have just gone right to, Humble Bundle, where they have the bundle still for the next couple days. It's the core book, the bestiary, the world guide, the advanced player's guide, the character's guide, all three books, three of the adventure paths that they did. Let's see, Shadows of the Ancient, Threshold of Knowledge, Echoes of Despair, Shipwreck Map, that's nice. The Migwa Expanse, Lost Omens book. I'm actually really stoked about that because I ran a campaign in the Migwa Expanse for a really, for a good chunk of time. The other 6 books to their adventure path that they put out that year. The Slivering. The Slivering Map Pack. Star-Crossed Voyagers.
How long is this going on for?
3 more days.
So, oh God, could we put it up on our socials?
The Lost Legends.
If you ever wanted to get a foot in the door on Pathfinder,
Sure, I'll put it.
The multi, their flip multi pack, their other flip campsite multi pack of maps, the other adventure path, and a few more goodies. The GM screen, character sheets. That's always nice that they just give you a PDF for character sheet. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 4 more map packs.
Yeah, I'm going to have to buy that.
For $25.
I'm going to buy that.
When the core book, I had to convince Katie because I was like, hey, I'm about to start streaming. Go ahead and turn my stream on and come look at my stream for a second. She's like, okay. And I was like, so this book is worth $50. This one. And here are 27 other items that cost money. And she was pretty much like, yeah, go for
I'm
that.
I'm going to have to go buy that. I don't get paid until the 10th. I'm going to have to take money out of savings to buy that, but I'm going to buy that.
Well, you also happen to have a GM who wants to run that after Witcher, so...
Yeah.
PDFs fly around.
Or, our GM, we could get back to running our other campaign.
Well, I'm working on running Witcher.
No, I mean after Witcher, we could go back to the Screaming Firehawks and...
We're down a couple people from that.
We don't have to be.
And we have...
We don't have to be. We could invite Sam.
We can also talk about this later.
Okay.
Hooligan's putting me right on the spot.
I want to play my creepy bog witch.
That game was amazingly fun, Drew. I think it's your fault we want to go back to it so bad. So
it was amazing.
Well, we'll also just, if we just have George come back, we can just have everybody else flesh out new characters, catch up to you guys.
That's fair.
And it'll make you, ooh, and it'll make you guys the senior adventurers on that quest.
So I wanted to give a shout out. It's not new release, but it's been within this year. Was Coyote and Crow?
Yeah,
they finally got their Kickstarter backed, and the Adventure Pass came out. My book finally arrived. Gosh, right before we moved, so it's been, you know,
like a couple months,
four months, 3 months. I don't know.
You really didn't move time is that construct. Long?
No. Yes, because we moved at the end of May.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
And it's September now.
Yeah.
That feels like a million.
I know, right?
Oh.
Wow.
God. It's like four page turns.
I know, right?
You've just always lived over there now, as far as
so
my brain.
So many. But Coyote and Crow is this wonderful fantasy adventure game that's set in an alternate future in the Americas where colonization never happened. And it's a completely like native led RPG funded and created by like actual native tribes from around the United States and Canada and all that. And it's just this immersive world filled with out of this world technology and stuff that's based on how things could have gone.
That's cool. That's super sick.
Without European colonization. And I love it. It's so beautiful. I haven't got to play in it yet, but I've gotten to read through some of it and it sounds fantastic.
I want to play that one really bad.
We should play.
Cool. UGM.
Okay. I've been meaning to run a game for you guys eventually anyway.
That's why I specifically use the term "I want to play." I'm like that is a lot like that one is a 5e to me.
Yeah,
where I don't want to run that, I want to play that.
Fair enough. Rules on 5e just aren't quite crunchy enough. But Coyote and Crow sounds like it would be awesome, like setting to play in.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I don't know that I could do the setting justice. Is the only reason that I'm like, I don't want to run that.
I don't even know if I can do the setting justice.
It's gonna be so cool.
But they have like the whole like part of the first chapter is just talking about like, hey, if you're a non-native player who's playing this game, here's some things to be aware of.
Yeah,
here's
some things to like. Don't use accents.
Yeah,
they just said that in like the first two paragraphs.
They do,
I was like,
and they also
guys.
Are like, don't assign yourself to a tribe that you don't belong to.
Yeah,
which I think is super important. Because you know this game is amazing and it's very inclusive, but there's a level of respect that you need when you're playing something like that. And I think that it's so cool that they took the time to actually address that for their players.
Absolutely. Yeah, they're like, just make up something. Like, it's cool. Yeah. Just make up a name. Like, just make up a tribe name.
Yeah, they're basically like, don't take a tribe that's already exists. Make your own up. Pretend, like...
And then run with that.
And then run with that.
And their reasoning behind it was, you're at least going to know the lore that you put behind that tribe.
Yeah.
Probably better than you would if you were to try to just go learn something. Like, learn a whole...
Well, and it keeps it respectful, where you're not taking lore that you have no idea about and using it for something that, you know, might be insulting.
But, yeah, it's got a very Horizon Zero Dawn feel to
that,
it.
That's
like,
what it
it's
is.
It's technology feel, like it's art design style.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Very similar to that.
It reminds me of Horizon Zero Dawn, but also, oh god, you know what? I'm saying this and now I'm not going to remember, but that one that we have that's like, it's the box of dice is like a rainbow colored box.
Overlight.
Oh, yeah.
Is that right? Overlight?
Yeah, it's Overlight. Thank you. It reminds me of, as far as the art style goes, a combination of Horizon Zero Dawn and Overlight.
Yes.
Like, it's very beautiful
bright.
And bright. And, I mean, if you look at a lot of, like, Mesoamerica and even, like, you know, Northern America tribes and stuff, colors were important.
Yeah.
And they brought that into it, and it looks gorgeous.
Super red. Oh, my God. Does it look just absolutely amazing? I think Shadowrun just had a small expansion come out.
Shadowrun had, they did a re-release of their core book. They called it Shadowrun, I think their Sixth World Seattle edition.
Okay.
Like, that was just a couple, like a month or two ago, maybe.
Yeah, I was like, I know I just saw Shadowrun got a little something.
And that's still running. I'm sure they do still have other stuff coming out. I can't remember what another new release would have been, though.
I'm pretty sure that I bought the Sixth World Core rulebook, and then some never ran it for me. We also have a Kyle in the studio today, and he's that.
He's just cringing over in the corner.
I bought him one, like, when 6th edition dropped. I bought it, like, new. And still, no. I got a D&D 5e campaign before I got my Shadowrun campaign out of him.
Wait, We love you, Kyle.
But the one that I'm really excited for, and they keep saying it's going to be out by the end of the year, but I'm really starting to slowly but surely like lose my faith in it. And once again, Kickstarter. I really want the Avatar.
Oh my god, I'm so excited about it. Out.
You can have the PDF. We have the download codes.
I don't want the PDF. I want my shiny book.
I know.
Yeah, I want my shiny book, my multiple bags of dice and delightfulness that come with it.
And your Pie Show token, your Lotus.
Oh, I want my Lotus token. I want my
Pie Show token so bad.
Listen, my addiction is beautiful RPG books. I don't care if I can get the PDFs. I don't care about that. I can't put a PDF on my bookshelf and go, look at this thing that I own. Look at it in its physical form.
You can, though. I mean, you just go
I'm not going
to
go print it.
You should go somewhere and have them print it for you.
Just spiral bind it.
It's not going to look as nice.
It's not going to look nearly as nice.
It won't, but it's physical and it's technically there.
But they're like on a good track. Like, no, they are.
I'm willing. It's beautiful enough. I'm willing to wait for it. I just expected it like a year and a half ago.
No. I think it was they originally were hoping for like beginning of this year.
I remember their original one was beginning mid-year.
I'm just trying to. I'm sorry.
The patience of Kickstarter. It's not your fault. It's Kickstarter's fault.
Sympathy, okay. Sorry.
I backed a beautiful 5th edition compatible book on Kickstarter that I'm still waiting on. That's like alternate spells that you can use, like spells and incantations is what it is. It's gorgeous. And some of the spells look so fun. I've been waiting for it for a year and a half.
Gotcha.
I keep getting updates about it. So, I mean, that's good. But like.
Well, on a happy news, and it's not necessarily new to the world, but it's relatively new to us. I don't think we actually, like, blew up. We got the Crit Roll merch things like that. I could think of was Laura Bailey's giant dice bag, and I was like, hey guys, they've recently sent us some of those. They're sick.
Well, we got a restock of the Tal'Dorei campaign guides.
Yeah.
Which are super cool. But then we also have, pins and buttons.
Oh, and they just drop Tal'Dorei Reborn or some crap?
Yeah. And
like, they just dropped another Crit Roll book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We've just gotten our big restock of it, too. So we have, like, a couple dozen copies of it in the store here. And it is it's a beefy book, and it's really cool.
Yeah.
Well, I'm hoping
super
that...
Super nice.
I would really like that to have him eventually make, like, an Exandria book.
Yeah.
Like, just, hey, I've been isolating all these different segments. Like, here's my Wild Mount, here's my Tal'Dorei, here's my this. Here's Exandria.
Sure.
Here's all of that stuff put into one book, and then a whole other book's worth of stuff. Fill in some of those blanks that we've left.
And it's not gaming stuff, but Critical Role related. Over the last year, they've released graphic novel origin stories for almost all of the Critical Role main campaign characters.
Yeah.
Those have been really cool.
They have been super cool. I was just telling Squirt that I feel bad that I have fallen off my wagon so much. I still enjoy their world that they're in. I still enjoy everything that they're producing, but I've just...
It's a lot to keep up with. It's like... never ending, seemingly.
They lost me when they went to pirates. When they became pirates for like 4 months, I was like, I'm sorry, guys. I just don't care. And I've tried to pick up after that, and I'm like,
you know what I miss? I miss our pirate campaign too.
Our pirate camp. Yeah, you mean our pirate campaign that went to
Eberron?
Went to Eberron.
I wasn't excited about the Eberron shift, but I wasn't either
because I told him 4 times that if we went to Eberron, I wanted to just play an Eberron game.
Yeah.
Because I had asked at the start of that campaign to be an artificer and was told no.
Well, it's okay because the campaign doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, I put a nail in it.
It's a figment of our memory.
Figment of our imagination.
Kind of like Rise of the Runelord?
No, that one still exists.
Correct.
Guys, it's been like 2 years since we played that one, if not longer.
I've got my notebook. I'm ready.
Me too. Jump back into that.
I don't need to have any information. Nimue is pure chaos. She doesn't need to know where we're going or what we're doing. She just needs to be pointed in a direction and she will go give everyone apples.
I don't think I have my notes for that game anymore.
It's okay. Hal has notes for everything.
That's probably why I didn't worry about my notes so much, is because Hal had notes for everything that wasn't specifically my GMing stuff, and I can remake that.
This game is going to haunt you forever.
God.
Forever.
You know why it's going to haunt me forever? And the reason, like, I'm bummed we never got back to it? Purely the fact I never got to try to kill anybody with my new fungus. I really, really wanted to, like, have that fungus mess with people, and we just never got around.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah,
my
fungus.
My unique purple fungus.
Yep.
Yeah.
I never got to get my new magic item that actually lets me have poisoned apples. I was super excited about that.
Oh, let's see. Who are we missing? We're just missing Sam.
We're just missing Sam.
He was homeless Rick.
Our drunk fire sorcerer.
Derelict Rick. Derelict Rick. Sorry, that's better.
One of these days, maybe.
It's fine.
All right.
Okay,
one of these days, maybe.
Sorry, guys. We just we're getting a little personal business out of the way here.
I don't think anyone cares. This is a freeform episode. What else has been new? I've seen so many good stuff on that new release show.
So there's a couple of weird ones that I wasn't expecting to ever see. But Drew, I think you've even picked up one of these, so maybe you know a little more about them. But they have a couple of manga.
Yes, I have both of them.
Levels
wow, that was
flickering
so
out of
loud.
I am very excited about these. They're so much fun, and I've
not
never
ready
get
for that.
To play one of them except for with like three people.
Goblin
so
Slayer.
It's Konosuba, God's blessing on this wonderful world, and then
Goblin Slayer.
I picked up the Konosuba one first, actually, because it did drop first, mm-hmm, and I realized I can't play it with the kid in the house. Like, she's got to leave the house. It is.
Konosuba, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
One of the ones is, like, straight up pickpocket and panty pocket.
Oh, okay.
Like,
okay.
I was like, oh, this might go into a direction I don't mean for it to. So
I forgot that Konosuba has that.
It's just
one of his.
Raunchy.
It's one of his skills. I forgot that that's a thing.
So, in the actual manga, it's because they actually get down to breaking it down. That's not his power. Isn't supposed to be to steal panties.
No, it's steal.
It's steal, but his luck is so high. Like, that's literally his maxed out stat. Like, they're like, you have garbage strength and dexterity and all this other thing. It turns out his luck stat was the one stat that got super boosted, and he takes the most valuable possession to the person, consciously or subconsciously. And that's why I think that, like, I was really stoked with when I heard that. I was like, that's so much cooler, actually.
That's actually, when I watched the anime, that's actually exactly why I thought he took
it.
I was like, oh, it's because, it's either because it's the most valuable thing, or it's because it's the thing that's going to cause them the most grief from losing it.
Yeah.
Like,
that was exactly how I had thought of it, but apparently a few other people thought it was just steel painting.
No. I mean, if it was just steel panty, then the Dullahan fight wouldn't have gone the way it did.
Right. But that's why I think it's hilarious, though, that everybody in that show thinks that he's just purposely stealing panties. It's like, I just use a skill, the same skill every other thief uses. I just happen to steal panties.
That's fair. I forgot how kind of raunchy that show is, or that whole series is, until you mentioned that. And I was like, oh, no, I can see why you wouldn't want to have, like, an 11-year-old in the house.
And it sucked because, like, when we were trying to get her into the idea of anime, the first one she ever saw that she was like, ooh, I want to watch that one. All those people look super cute and adorable and fun was Konosuba.
Oh,
and we all had to go, no, you can't watch anything that darkness is part of.
Also, don't let her watch Magica, because that is so sad.
Whatever, she's reading and watching Promised Neverland.
Oh, God.
Yeah, we all looked at her and went, okay, Edgelord.
Okay, maybe she can watch. Okay, that's fine.
But then Goblin Slayer, which is one of my, it's one of my favorite animes.
I've watched that anime. I've rewatched it like four times this year. Like,
I haven't rewatched it four times this year, but I am on my, I think I've done twice this
whenever
year.
I get on like a slump where I'm just like, I just want to consume media, but I don't want to consume anything new, I'm like, Goblin Slayer and then Overlord.
I've been playing more Genshin Impact, so I've been trying to figure out how to set up my screen so that my Genshin Impact can be set to one side and my Goblin Slayer can be set to the other, and I can just dual screen watch.
I want to play Goblin Slayer a lot. That RPG looks so good.
I am so stoked for it. One, the fact that in the show's intro credits, all that kind of stuff, like intro and outro, there are dice everywhere. They blatantly say, and then the gods rolled the dice.
Yes.
All the time.
It's very clearly an RPG in the background happening.
Yeah. And so for them to actually make an RPG, like, to be like, okay, here's the RPG they're essentially playing.
Yeah.
It is so cool to me. I'm so excited. It's one of those ones that they have other monsters and they talk about the other monsters a little bit. And even in the book, there are like other things you can go fight that aren't goblins. But I just want to run a Goblin Slayer campaign. For those of you at home who don't know what Goblin Slayer is, his name's Goblin Slayer and he does what his name entails.
He just kills goblins. He's a silver level adventurer who just kills goblins.
Yeah, and lots of people are like, dude, you could be gold, platinum, diamond rank if you really put your mind to it. Nope, I kill just goblins. But he's also above that, like, base entry because he clears entire nests by himself.
I also love the idea. I'm sure that in the game, I need to read through the rule book, but I like that in the manga and in the anime, none of the characters have names.
Yeah.
They just have titles of what, like, it's just priest or druid or
elf.
Ranger, you know,
yeah,
all that stuff. I love that because it feels like they're actually background characters in a game.
Yeah.
Like you just hear about this adventuring party in this small town who only kills goblins, and, oh, well, they've got an elf ranger and a dwarf druid and, you know,
yeah,
a priestess. And you don't know their names. It's just this dude who's Goblin Slayer.
Well, and that I really appreciate it because it's also one of those shows, you don't know when somebody's just going to die.
No.
And the fact that they don't give anybody, like, Goblin Slayer is his name. That's what people call him.
Nobody's got plot armor.
Yeah, nobody's got plot armor. It's not like, oh, well, that's James. Oh, well, you have a real name. The second anybody gets a real name in that show, I am now going to assume they die. The first time that they're like, oh, this is James, I'm going to be like, you're dying in the next episode.
You're dead.
Done. Nobody gets plot armor. But yeah, there's no plot armor. There's no nothing like that. And you know me, I'm a bit of a fan of every now and then hitting a meat grinder and just being like, okay, I'm actually going to try to kill my players, or I'm going to have let my GM try to actively kill me. It's fine. I'm ready for a fun slog. I'm ready for a heavy combat. We're going to push really hard all the time.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm really excited for that for. I really want to get the Dark Souls RPG. It also recently released.
Hey.
By Infernus or something like that. I've never heard of the company, but they released one. It looks neat.
Nice.
And then I think Steamforge is also releasing an RPG for Dark Souls. Dark Souls is getting around right now.
Yeah.
So I have like the toss of, because if I get into a game and somebody's like, this is a meat grinder, I'm like, dope. That's what we're playing.
Yeah.
But I hate getting into an RPG where I'm expecting an RPG.
Yeah.
And then the DM's like, no, I'm going to kill all of you. And it's like, whoa, 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 whoa. I need you to give me a heads up if you're going to try and TPK us all the time, because I'm not going to get attached to this character.
I'm honestly surprised you guys haven't died in any way. You know how I know I wasn't a mean GM and that I just had silly players? You guys haven't died.
I know, right?
I do the same crap with you guys I did with them. I watch you guys just, like, skate and slide through, and I'm like, is this how it's supposed to work?
Hey, maybe we're just that good.
We're just... No, we're just...
I'm just kidding.
We're just kidding. Chaotic.
You know what?
Yeah,
I would say you guys are just that good.
I mean, we've got a group of experienced enough players that we're like, oh, we're not going to survive this. We need a tactical retreat. How do we tactically retreat?
Whereas people don't believe in the tactical retreat.
No, I was going to say, there are groups of people who are like, nope, we're going to fight. We're going to fight and we're going to win because we're the heroes. And it's like, oh,
buddy.
Oh, no.
No, you're an adventurer. No. There's a difference.
You're not a hero yet, sweetheart.
Some Hercules vibes going on right now.
Yeah. Zero to hero. I can't sing any more than that because Disney will strike us.
Is there any last minute RPG goodies that we want to chab about? I know we started a little late, but
not
about our time.
I haven't got to buy the book, but I've leafed through it. I'm behind on all my D&D books right now, because many. But Journeys Through the Radiant Citadel also dropped recently.
Ooh, yeah.
And it is beautiful.
It looks really pretty.
Like, it's going to go, I think, hand in hand with a lot of the, like, crystal dragon stuff that they introduced in Fizbin's.
Oh, cool.
Ooh, cool.
Because it's all just, like, crystal spires and...
Yeah, the front cover of the special version, like, almost looks like stained glass or something.
Yeah.
Super and fun. And that's, like, the whole vibe of the Radiant Citadel is just, like, floating crystals and magic and, like, all of that kind of stuff. I'm super excited about it.
That would be, it's another one of those, well, I think it's another one of those that's like an anthology of adventures where you can play them strung together, like as a whole thing, or you can just cherry pick and play which ones you want.
That's what it seemed like to me when I was leafing through it, which I love. I love those kinds of stuff because you can run a whole campaign, or you can just throw in a couple one-shots into whatever campaign you're running. Like, oh, you guys have to go stop by the Radiant Citadel to pick up some stuff. Here's some quests to do while you're there.
Well, and I love, I've heard of people doing stuff like using the template of the adventure, but then changing in whatever, I mean, in this case, what the Radiant Citadel is to just something entirely different.
Yeah.
Or, like, I've heard of people using the adventure as, like a Spelljammer one, but then, like, making that, like, Spelljammer headquarters instead of a Radiant Citadel. Like, I don't know, I've heard of people doing all sorts of fun stuff like that.
And I love, like, so Tales from the Yawning Portal, Candlekeep Mysteries, and now Radiant Citadel, and a Ghost of Saltmarsh to an extent also.
Okay.
All have those kind of adventures where they can absolutely be standalones, or you can try to make them work as a full campaign if you have a lot of time and energy. And
Well, it's just like doing things like Emerald Spire. Like, Emerald Spire is one of my favorite ones because, you can pick through whatever you need for a current campaign, or there's also nothing more fun than being like, okay, you guys are going to Yawning Portal Descent into this, and
but
you get to come back when you're done.
But also, like, all of those settings, all of those adventure paths are easy enough to reskin. You could take any of the Tales from the Yawning Portal, any single one of them, and just drop them into any campaign you're running, and they would be fine.
Yeah, it's a random cave you found.
It's a random cave. It's a random dungeon. It's whatever.
It's a random insert place you go.
Candlekeep Mysteries works so well because they're all mysteries that happen when you open a book. You can just throw a magic book anywhere in the world, and you can just have your players go fall into this.
That's awesome. I didn't know that.
Yeah, Candlekeep Mysteries, every single one of them starts out with a specific book in the Candlekeep library that you find, and then it takes you on an adventure.
Oh, yeah.
That's delightful.
I love it.
That sounds great. I want to do some of that. We need to finish Witcher. We need to move on to more fun things.
But Witcher is so much fun.
It is. But I can't run other things while I'm running Witcher.
Fair.
I guess a last little, like, fun shout-out, just not, like, its own RPG or anything, but if any of you happen to be fans of the dude named Matthew Lillard, who's an actor and modern nerd who's been getting into more things, his company Beetle and Grimm, which he named after him and a friend of his, like, old-time D&D characters from a long, long time ago, have started putting out some really fun, like, nerd merch and stuff
like that. Are we getting some of that?
So, you know those dice tins that are on the spinner rack downstairs that are, like, based on... Those are Beetle and Grimm's dice.
Oh,
and they're actually really so nice dice. I'm sad that we can't display them so people can actually see what they look like, but I've looked up pictures of them online and they're actually really nice.
You can find pictures on their website if people are ever looking. Be like, okay, hey, look, they're right there. But that, like, they're doing, if you like fancy things, they're doing very high-end, like, collections of things based on Dungeons & Dragons and also Magic the Gathering, and now also Pathfinder, too, specifically. Like, they just put these, like, really, really fancy, like, really nicely bound portfolios for your characters. Like, they have one for all the different kinds of classes that have, like, I think the information for the class, as well as, like, basically, like, a whole, like, journal and character sheet, like, thing that you can use for whatever you're playing.
That'd be so nice.
It's kind of fun.
That's really rad. That doesn't surprise me because I think either early this year or late last year they had a Dungeons & Dragons like convention thing that was going on, and he was heavily involved, and I was like, you're breaking into the community again, buddy? Like, you're finally leaving Acton behind, you're gonna come hang out with us? And it doesn't quite surprise me that he is. Like, he's always been that super nerdy actor anyway. Mm-hmm. And so to see him actually producing some goodies for D&D and Magic and Pathfinder, that's really cool.
I just thought it was cute and fun enough to give a quick little shout out.
I love that. I love their I'm looking forward to seeing more of the stuff that they're going to put
out. Yeah, definitely. Hopefully not all of it insanely high-end, crazy fancy stuff, because, like, the plebeian level stuff, like, we can pick up. It's also been really nice. I mean that because it's, like, hundreds of dollars for some of these, like, collections they put out, like, $300 to $500, and it's like, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Matt.
But
okay,
it's not, I was going to say, it'd also be, like, buying one of those head mounts that we have.
But, I mean, those are really good, like, special Christmas gifts for yourself. Or if you really like someone, I guess, you can get it for them, too.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas to me.
I don't get to buy myself Christmas presents anymore.
Sucks. I only get to buy myself Christmas presents, so.
Lucky. And with that note, I think it's time to pack up our books, notepads, and pencils, and shove them back into our cabinet, close up the door, and you folks, come on down. Get some RPGs. Get involved. They're fun. They're wonderful. If your kids are looking for it.
There's so many that are like super kid-friendly.
Yeah.
Not too many of the ones we talked about. I mean, Dungeons & Dragons, 5th edition.
Dungeons & Dragons, super kid-friendly. But there's also like Business Wizards, Magical Kittens. There's all kinds of RPGs.
No Thank You Evil.
No Thank You Evil.
Oh, No Thank You Evil is a great
place
one.
To start.
Yes.
They even have a My Little Pony one.
But come on down. The one of us three, what then there's probably plenty more here who will know an RPG that we can get into your hands that will make you happy. But with that, we'll catch you guys next time.
Good job, Drew. Round of applause for Drew, everybody.
I still almost said it. Even thinking that hard, I still almost said it.
You've been listening to The Game Cabinet of the AU Radio Podcast Network. If you're interested in any of the titles from today's episode, you can check out the link tree in the description to visit Adventures Underground at their online store to browse the selections or inquire about special orders. If you'd like to contact the show, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Just check out that link tree in the description. Or you can email the show at podcast@advunderground.com. You can also support this show and all the awesome shows on AU Radio that you love by becoming a patron of the AU Radio Podcast Network. You can find us at patreon.com/advunderground. For as little as $1 a month, you can help us continue to create these shows, and soon, many more.
You've been listening to the AU Radio Podcast Network. Music is provided by CubbyPurplePlanet.com and BenSound.com. Views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Adventures Underground. AU Radio is a production of Adventures Underground. Copyright 2018. All rights reserved.